Catherine and Angela Allen are going to come to read to us from God's Word, first from Psalm 23, and then Luke 15, where Jesus talks about a good shepherd. Thank you, Catherine.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass, and he leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right path, as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff will protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me for the rest of my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live.
Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling, "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do you do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, "I am so happy I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's pray. Father God, with the psalmist we pray that you will open our eyes, that we may discover wondrous truth out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the story of the little boy starting his first term at junior school. He was asked, along with all the other children, to speak for a few moments on what I want to be when I grow up. And the little boy stood up and said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be a lion tamer. I'll have lots of scary lions who will roar when I get into the cage." And suddenly, overcome with the thought of what it might be, he added, "But of course, I'll have mummy with me." Now, the truly big question in life is this: is there anybody there? Is there a mummy in the universe? Does it matter to anyone what happens to me? Does my life matter? And the message of Psalm 23 is this: that God cares. He cares with us. God is with us. We may not have to face lions, literally, but the odds are that we will encounter perils of one kind or the other. There are times when life can be frightening, but we are not alone. If you look closely at the structure of Psalm 23, you'll discover that God's name appears only twice, once at the beginning and once at the end. The psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the psalm ends, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that's the good news. From beginning to the end, God is there. We are never alone. Now, this morning we begin a new summer series entitled Psalms We Love. And of course, where else can we begin but with this psalm, Psalm 23, the world's favourite psalm. And you'll not be surprised to learn that in over 40 years of ministry, this is not the first time I preached on this psalm. My records tell me that I first preached on this psalm in June 1975. And since then, I've preached on it 8 times, not to mention the many times I've drawn upon this psalm for funerals and for weddings. But it's not always been the same sermon. I mean, my experience, and I'm sure it's yours, that every time you come and read a passage, however familiar it might be, all of a sudden, perhaps because of the context in which you find yourself, it says something new. In the words of a hymn we used to sing, "The Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word." Now, this morning, we haven't time to explore every line of the psalm. With the children present, the sermon needs to be shorter than usual. Thank God, say some of you. So we're just going to focus on three metaphors that we find in this psalm. Three metaphors to describe God's love. First of all, God is our shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd," says the psalmist. "I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength." Now, this is not the only time in the Bible that God is described as a shepherd. But there is a difference between how the metaphor is used here and how it's used elsewhere. Elsewhere, it always has a corporate image. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd of Israel. But here the corporate image becomes personalized, and the first person singular is used. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist here knows himself standing in a personal relationship with God, so that when he is in trouble, he can, as it were, dial mine, mine, mine. He cares for me. I count in his sight. And because I know that, I shall never have to just fend for myself. You know, many people have no difficulty in believing that there is some kind of creator force behind this universe. Fewer, but still many, have no difficulty in believing God to be an all-powerful ruler, working out his purposes in history. But the psalmist here encourages us to believe in a personal God who cares for each one of us as a shepherd cares for each one of his sheep. And this personal care for each one of us is found particularly in John chapter 10, where Jesus, speaking of the good shepherd, once said, "He calls his own sheep by name." And here we have a reminder that God knows us. He knows us through and through. He knows us even by name. As you look around at everybody here, I guess that there is nobody here who knows everybody's name. But the amazing thing is that God knows not simply your name and mine. He knows the names of all the billions of us in this world. God never says to one of us, "Excuse me, I don't think we've met before." And what's more, this caring God never goes off duty. That surely is the implication of the metaphor. When the psalmist wrote this psalm, shepherds didn't knock off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then go home and come back at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, shepherds lived with their flocks. They were on duty 24/7. They were always there for their sheep. And that too is true for God. And it is precisely because God cares for us in such a personal and undivided manner that the psalmist goes on to say, "I have everything I need." Or as the older versions put it, "I shall not want." Now, in preparing for this sermon today, I discovered to my amazement that there is a website, www.iwantoneofthose.com. iwantoneofthose.com. The current top six wants are a VW camper tent, £299.99, a pocket shower, just £14.99, a micro gyro flyer, £23.99, a so-called Weinstein at £6.99, a crossbow pistol at £7.99, and a mood cushion at £9.99. Don't bother to go and look at it. It's a pathetic website. Now, there are lots of things that I would want, but I don't want gadgets. Nor do I particularly want a £500,000 windfall to help my pension, although I guess that would be helpful. So if you're offering, thank you very much. No, the things that I would really like are good health for myself and for my loved ones, happiness for my children. But even such good things pale into insignificance with knowing God and his love. God is my one true need. With him, I can face everything that life has to offer. So metaphor number one, God is our shepherd. Metaphor number two, God is our companion. Listen to verses 3-4. He guides me in the right way as he has promised. Even if that way goes through deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, because you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff keep me safe. Yes, I know the metaphor of shepherd is here as well, but it's also a metaphor of companionship. Incidentally, did you know that the word companion literally means one who shares bread with me? According to the Compact Oxford English Dictionary, a companion is one with whom one spends time or travels. And in this context, I would like to suggest that God is there with us through all the twists and turns of life's journey. In particular, says the psalmist, he is with us when the way goes through the deepest darkness. Now, what is this deepest darkness? Traditionally, of course, the deepest darkness is interpreted of death. So in the Authorized Version, we read of the valley of the shadow of death. The story is told of how a Greek village woman once took her baby to a wise man, asking him if he could foretell the child's future. He said, "There is only one thing that I can tell you for sure about your baby, and that is that he's going to die." Yes, the valley of the shadow of death is an experience which each one of us must go through. And if the truth be told, not everybody looks forward to that. As Woody Allen once humorously said, "Death? I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be around when it happens." But for those who have entrusted their lives to the Good Shepherd, for those who've personalized their faith and who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," there is no reason to fear. Because we believe that at that moment, as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there with us. What a relief to know that God will see us through death and beyond. But of course, death is not the only dark experience which we may face. There are other darknesses. My sister at the moment is suffering from the darkness of depression. She's been in a psychiatric hospital for the last 4 months. It's a dreadful experience. There's the darkness of serious illness that will not go away. There is the darkness of unemployment. You keep on applying and applying for this job and for that, but the door never seems to open. God has not promised us a trouble-free life, but he's promised to be with us in our troubles. In the words of Matthew Henry, God is a very present help in trouble. He is more present than trouble. Even if that way goes through deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, because you are with me. Our companion is there. Sadly, sometimes in those moments of darkness and pain, we turn in upon ourselves, do we not? To protect ourselves, we, as it were, roll up into a little ball. But in so doing, we unconsciously turn our backs upon God and his love. Surely at such a time, we need to open up ourselves to God. Open up our pain to God and discover that he is there. Whatever evil may lurk around the corner, we need not fear. God is our companion. He's there right up to the end. And metaphor number three. God is our host, verses 5 to 6. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. So the picture changes again. From green pastures to dark valleys, we now turn to a feast, to a banquet. And what do you think when you think of a banquet? Well, I think of a wedding reception. 16th of July, I was at a super wedding reception. Don't start me, I'll be off forever. But the banquet, of course, in mind, is not a wedding feast, but rather a feast associated with the kingdom of God. At the end of the journey, God, our companion, will turn out to be God, our host. And in the new world that is coming, we are, as it were, going to eat and drink in the kingdom of God. And on that day, God will bless those who put their trust in him. He will bless them publicly. He will bless them even in the presence of their enemies. Now, some Christians have struggled with this thought. C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote the Narnia stories, wrote, "The poet's enjoyment of his present prosperity would not be complete unless those horrid enemies who used to look down their noses at him were watching it all and hating it." And Lewis says, "The pettiness and vulgarity of it are hard to endure." So I discovered in preparing for this particular sermon that some have suggested that the table here is the table of reconciliation, where enemies have become friends. After all, the argument goes, did not Jesus tell us to love our enemies? I'm reminded of Abraham Lincoln, who's once asked why he tried to make friends with his enemies. "Surely," said the person, "you should try to destroy them." But without a moment's hesitation, Lincoln gently replied, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends?" Well, much as I like this interpretation, that one's enemies eventually become one's friends, I don't think that this is what the psalmist had in mind. The thought is surely this, that the day will come when God's people will be vindicated. The fact is that for many people, following Jesus is tough. For many people, following Jesus leads not just to misunderstanding, but to rejection, to persecution, to suffering of one kind or another. But, says the psalmist, one day God will reward their faithfulness and place his friends in the place of honor. And as he reflects on that day, the psalmist declares, "I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. At least that's the Good News Bible version. I confess that for once I prefer the NIV, which follows the Authorized Version. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, strictly speaking, the psalmist may not have had eternity in mind. After all, he lived the other side of the cross and resurrection, did he not? But I do believe that we, this side of the cross and resurrection, can apply these words to the life of heaven. Indeed, that's precisely what John did in the last book of the Bible. In Revelation 7, verse 17, he wrote, "The Lamb who is in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a wonderful hope is ours. So as we come to the end of the sermon, let me ask you this simple question. Do you have this assurance? Is not only your present, but also your future secure in God's hands? And the good news is that it can be secure when you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when you say that, then you find the ultimate security is found in the Good Shepherd who cares for us and who will eventually bring us to our heavenly home. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the familiar truths that we have reminded ourselves this morning. But write them on our hearts and minds so that when life is tough, we may hold on to you. And we bless you that when we do, you hold on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.